August 26, 2023, it's a Watt for Pedro show. for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. Had to swerve to avoid some situation, and my guest was kind enough to bear with me. Start off the show with John Coltrane. Live excerpt from November 28, 1962, Autumn Leaves. Very popular standard, right? Especially for us. We are TV in our journey. Then the adverts, One Chord Wonder, going way back. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with TV Smith. Welcome aboard, TV.
Nice to be here, Watt. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, please bring your earliest musical memory. Let's learn about your journey through music.
It's a long journey, Watt. It's a very long journey. I'm not sure I can remember my first...
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
No, you're right there. That's true in life. I guess the first band I remember were the Beatles. You know, I used to hear the Beatles on the radio, and something about it kind of, you know, just grabbed me. So I heard the Beatles and the Rolling Stones when I was a kid, and just music got me. So I pretty soon I realized I wanted to write it, not just consume it.
Whoa. The pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
My brother played guitar, and
did you jump on that guitar?
I jumped on the guitar. it's really the only instrument I can play. I was sent to do piano lessons when I was a kid, which
went through that. I've had guests on the show. It almost chased them away from music. It was such a brutal, terrible experience.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I had like a 90-year-old lady teaching me, and it was like, going to piano lessons was like being in prison. And I did a year and did really well at it. And then because I'd done well, I was able to give up. And it's one of the things I regret most, because I'd love to be able to play piano now.
You know, they say that youth is usually wasted on the young, but it takes experiences like that to have regrets that you can't change once you're downstream like that. Let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, we didn't have shit like that in Britain.
Okay. Okay.
We had music lessons, and I formed a band at school with the teacher playing guitar in it. So
wow.
I was recruiting members early on.
Now, did you write songs for that group?
Yeah, I was writing songs when I was still in school. I started writing poetry, and then I started listening to bands and thinking, I was like writing alternative lyrics in my head. So I thought, my lyrics are better than your lyrics. So writing words was always the thing. And then I started, you know, playing guitar and making the tunes go with the poetry I had going on.
TV, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
The first record I bought with my own money was not the record I intended to get. I intended to get the Bee Gees 19 whatever it was mining disaster.
Oh yeah,
And I ended up, because my mother bought it for me, she got the wrong one. She got that awful hit by the Bee Gees that I can't even remember. The Massachusetts.
Okay, and what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was also not terribly exciting. It was Steel I Span.
I remember that.
We were an English folk band who had a couple of hits, but the school I was in took us on a school trip in the minibus to see them play a gig, and it was kind of interesting. The second one was much better. That was Ralph McTell, who did Streets of London, and then I think the third gig I went to see was Cockney Rebel, who were a kind of 70s glam band, but they had something really interesting. And then my interest started to get peaked, and like a half a year later, I went to see Bowie, and, you know, that was it. I was blown away.
And that band you made in school, did they ever do a gig?
We played the school hall, you know, at lunchtime.
Was that your first gig ever?
Yeah, that was my first gig.
How'd it go?
I'd like to say it set the country on fire, but in fact all it did was left me going back to maths lessons in the afternoon with glitter in my hair and makeup all over my face because I couldn't get it off.
Ah, you had an outfit.
It was glam. It was a glam era. Mid-70s.
The first gig I went to was T-Rex. Me and D. Boone saw T-Rex when we were 15.
Yeah.
It was a slider tour.
That's a, That's a better gig than Steel Ice Man.
Well, you know, sometimes you'll pick those. But we did pick. It was only $250 because in those days people toured to sell records, right? So it was really, it wasn't an industry unto itself yet.
I always regretted that my first record and my first gig wasn't something more exciting, but there you go. That's the way.
Well, that's why I ask you that, because it's you only have the first gig once.
Make up something more exotic, but that's, unfortunately, it's the truth.
You know what? Truth is always best, because what my pop say, if you don't lie, you don't have to remember.
That's right.
Okay. You gave me some more adverts. Gary Gilmore's Eyes.
Looking through Gary Gilmore's eyes, looking through Gary. ones you see and the ones you don't. The more you see her, the more you need her, the more you keep saying never mind.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro show. That chunk of music start off adverts doing the single version of Gary Gilmore's Eyes. Skullcaster, brand new, out of just outside of Austin, Texas. Space Laser Recalibration, guided by voices. It's every other month, so a new album from Bob Pollard, right? Rust Belt Boogie. Zach Rosen after that. Great Veneer, which is apropos, I see. That's why I picked it. Troposphere 7. Pollution Club. Matt Jones just moved back to West Mass. Cup after that. Tokyo Night Janitor. Cup is a collab between Nels Klein and Yukahana. Mike Adams at his Honest Weight, brand new. Half Fool. That's a appropriate band name. Adverts, finally, with the single version of Television's Over. I remember getting this 7-inch right when it came out. And I just loved the way the drums and the bass were mixed, because a lot of records weren't like that, except maybe Pop Group. It was, you know, maybe not as Beefheart Funky or Parliament Funky, but it was big in the mix. Always, I learned a lot from records, I mean, before that, too, from the late 60s, early 70s, mixed over in England and stuff. They would put the bass way louder than the rock and roll records over here in the U.S., so it helped me a lot. Thank you, Jack Bruce, with the cream and that stuff. But let's talk about the school band's name.
Well, yeah. Like most school bands, we spent like longer trying to pick a name than we actually did rehearsing. And in the end, we did that stupid thing where you think, well, I'm going to open a book and just point randomly at something on the page, and that's going to be the name. And unfortunately, the name ended up Slavey Witness. Because it was a textbook about radiography, and the finger landed on the line Slavey Witness the Experiment, which is about the first radiography kind of tests across the Atlantic. So having promised ourselves that we would stick with the first thing that came that we came across in the book, we were stuck with it. So probably one of the worst band names in history.
I think PFM had Marconi in the name, relating to radio.
Oh, there you go. It's suddenly become trendy. I was way ahead of the wave.
Okay, how long does this band last, TV?
It lasted, you know, through school. And then I went on to art college for a year, and I immediately formed another band called Sleaze. And
better name.
We did a few... Yeah, a better name. It's getting, you know, things are improving.
Yeah.
And was it made we paid for our own record and recorded it in
one take. Let me ask you about putting it together. How'd you put it together? Are these guys who going to college with you?
Yeah, there were people who I knew at college. I was writing songs, so we just picked a bunch of songs that I'd written.
You mean these are songs that you wrote and
recorded them? You know, I still have the receipt. It costs £36 to record the record.
Okay, these songs that you wrote—they're from the school band.
Yeah.
So they're repurposed in Sleaze. Now, would you say there's a big difference between the Sleaze versions and the school band version?
Well, I think I only pulled like one thing out of the school band, to be honest. I was writing all the time by that time, so and listening to other music and other things, so the writing was progressing pretty fast. I mean, you know, I was listening to Iggy and the New York Dolls and all that kind of stuff.
Can I ask you your method? Did you come up with words first and then bring music? I'm guessing acoustic guitar or something, or did the music come first and then the words?
It's the old question, isn't it? But actually, it was bits and pieces coming together like a kind of jigsaw. Because I'd write, you know, I'd have an musical idea and then a few words that come into my head, and I'd have some idea words in my head and try and put a bit of music to it. So it was a really piece. You know, I'm not one of these write the whole text and then put the music to it or the other way around. It's always been bits and pieces coming together with me.
And can you tell me about the first Sleaze gig?
The first Sleaze gig, I think, I don't recall which the first one was. I was living in the southwest where I am now, in Devon, right down the southwest of England in the country.
Sure.
And so there weren't a lot of venues about. You know, we'd hire we'd hire halls and clubs, but, you know, school halls and local village halls. And I think our first regular gig was supporting George Melly in a club in Torquay.
Okay. You know, I played Exeter a lot. Now, that's a college town, right?
That's a college town. I'm playing there in a couple of weeks supporting UK subs.
Oh, wow, Charlie. Okay. But that's Devon, right? That region or area?
That's about 20 miles from where I live, yeah.
Okay. There's a great club. What's it called? Cavern, I think?
The Cavern School, yeah.
Yeah. Where you actually go downstairs into like a cavern.
It's not called the Cavern for nothing, no.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So how'd that first Sleaze gig go?
Well, you know, it's what it's like when you're a kid, you pull in all your friends and they all come and adore you. They have no choice.
So you would say that gig was a success?
Well, you know, we...
You just want to
get on stage, you want to play your songs, and, you know, if there's only 25 of your friends there, that's a big success. You know, you've got out there and you've done it. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not saying there's no way to advertise. There's no way that anyone outside the immediate circle comes. But it's about starting off on that road. You know, until you've actually gone on stage and played in front of people, you don't know anything about songwriting or how stuff works.
Well, I asked that because one of my early gigs, D. Boone's Pop, literally had to drive up with his pickup truck to rescue us because all the people throwing rocks and shit, they hated it so bad. Yeah, it was called the Bright Orange Band. Good old days. Fuck that. How long does Sleaze... Now, you say Sleaze makes a recording for 36 pounds, and does this get pressed up?
Yeah, we pressed up our own copies. I think we pressed 50 copies and sold it to family and friends. And then it kind of disappeared until about, I think, 5 years ago when a label in the States heard it and picked it up and released it in the States on, a 1,000 run, which sold out almost immediately.
Wow. And when was the original pressing?
1975, I guess. Yeah, 1975, I think.
Wow. Does Sleaze tour, like England or something?
No way. No. We're literally around the local, you know.
And how long did it last?
How long did it last? That lasted till the college broke up. So, like I said, I did a year out of college. And when college finished, that whole thing broke up. And my mind started turning to the next thing, which was going to be the adverts.
Now, how's that happen?
Well, I'd met Gay in art college, and she expressed an interest to play bass. So I started teaching her the new songs I was writing, the bass lines, and we formulated a plan to move to London. You know, this was by now we're talking about 1976, when the first kind of rumblings of something starting in London were going on. You know, there's reports about the first Sex Pistols' first gigs, Clash, that kind of thing. So I thought, this is what I need. You know, this is what's missing from the gigs here in Devon, where all you're getting is your friends. So there was, you know, there was a feeling that there was something going on somewhere else, London, where actually this was the kind of music I wanted to put myself in front of, the kind of audiences that I wanted to get hold of. So to me, it was clear, got to move to London and start getting my stuff out in front of the people who are going to, you know, be the right audience.
And so, like, you and Gay put out an ad for a drummer and
Yeah, we moved up to London. I obviously had guitar. You know, I didn't want to play guitar. You know, I felt I wasn't good at guitar. I could write songs on it, but I couldn't really play it slickly enough to work in a band. I'd only ever sung in Sleaze and the previous bands and given guitar duties to someone else. So, we moved up and I put out the ads in the papers in the NME and Melody Maker to try and get drummer and guitarist.
So you never knew these cats before? And how many people tried out?
Well, we had a kind of... The problem was, the punk rock ethic was not there. So you put out an advert for a guitarist who's into, you know, New York Dolls or Iggy or, you know, or something like that, and you get a bunch of people who belong in a hippie band, you know, who play 50-minute guitar solos that don't go anywhere. You know, and I was writing by now sharp songs. You know, I was writing 2.5-minute songs.
By the way, TV, I got to tell you, the lead guitar in Television Over is so econo. I love how tiny a few notes. Yeah. I love it.
Well, you know, when I gave him a gap to have, you know, to have a guitar solo, he went for it because he knew he had 10 seconds to say what he wanted to say. That was the kind of the beauty of the economy of punk rock, you know, no wastage.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not about punk rock, that theory, you know, that's been through, you know, jazz and rock and roll and blues and every other form. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got something to say, say it as economically as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So, right away, do you get the two dudes you need?
Yeah, the guitarist answered an ad in the NME, and it turned out he lived just down the road from me, and he also worked in a rehearsal studio, so that really, you know, killed three birds with one stone.
Yeah.
He could play, he could rehearse at his place, and I only had to go down the road to show him how the songs worked.
And drummer?
So we rehearsed for quite a long time, unable to find a drummer, eventually, you know, we were getting really kind of frantic by now because we're getting towards the end of 76. We had everything in place, but no drummer. And then this guy walked into a rehearsal room working at the same rehearsal place and said, I can play drums. And he was basically like, you're in, you know, just start. And it only transpired after the first few rehearsals that he'd actually been lying. And he had never played a drum kit before. And one of the other people working in the rehearsal complex was coaching him in between our rehearsals how to play drums. So he was a complete and absolute beginner.
Wow.
You know, somehow it worked.
One beat wonder. He was a one beat wonder.
He was a one beat wonder. I mean, he played it the wrong way around. He played the snare drum when he should have been playing the bass drum. You can hear it. You can hear it on some of the things.
No, it's really trippy. He's really unorthodox when you listen to it. Now I understand why. So what was the first? I'm sorry.
I was just saying. Yeah, that was a thing. You know, we got a lot of criticism at the time because, you know, Gay was a beginner and couldn't really play the bass that well. You know, and Laurie couldn't play drums that well. But this is the stuff you throw into the furnace and this big fire comes up. And music had become so conventional. There was no chances being taken, no risks. Everyone was looking to be commercially successful. You know, and this was what punk rock was blowing out of the water.
Yeah.
But you could suddenly throw this stuff in. You know, we did it out of desperation. We just wanted to play. I wanted to get my songs out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. What was the first adverts gig like?
A complete disaster.
Okay. Jesus, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I'm getting down now, like, to your first gig now, because when the adverts played, we played down at Roxy, which was...
Live at Roxy album with Wire, I remember that.
Yeah, that was not actually the first
And Johnny Moped. That's right.
You can hear what the bands are like, you know, very, you know, raw and you know, loads of mistakes.
Oh, yeah, and hilarious. Like, if you don't fucking pogo, I'm going to beat you with this cudgel. I remember, what the fuck is a cudgel? What's pogo?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's got to have a first gig, TV.
Absolutely. Well, we got, you know, we're, you know, to make it even worse, you know, we got because the NME knew was good stress, we're just getting on board and realizing something was going on. You know, we actually got a review in the New Music Express for it. Our first review, you know, and it just totally destroyed us. You know?
I'm sorry. It seems the music.
It was a great start.
I will say, twice
in the first week it opened. And then became regulars, and you know, we got better, and people got on our side, And within 6 months, we were on a 30-date tour supporting the Damned and had a record in the charts. So, you know, it was kind of like, who's laughing now?
Yeah, on a big label, too. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. August 26, 2023, edition WAP Pedro Show, special guest TV Smith. Hold tight for hour two. August 26, 2023. It's the second hour of the WAP Pedro Show.
Little books that have all of our poetry there. and especially for this tour, like we have done so many times, and Byron has organized one of these. Get all those demons out of the White House. White noise. Exorcise the White House. Oh, Nikola the Tesla coil. At the click of your mouse, electricity will annihilate space. Orwellian conspiracy, so subtle down the turnpike of nothingness, where power grids go back in virtual death. Until one day there is a message, and it is not on the phone, nor in the computer. It comes from the signals deep down in the body where the fortune teller lives. Foot still in one shoe, dangling off the bed of the American future. Fucked in the truck stop of nowhere down the chaos road. Bend down, America, and kiss the asphalt. You voted for it. The crusaders are robbing the peasants again. There is evil in their agenda. Demons in their house. If you are born twice, you can work in deadly Dick Ciroc and make $7,000 a week electrifying the showers. Don't say there's no future, son, for good criminals. Hysterical religion in the faces. Beyond the candidates of guns, those slaughtered buffalo, the greedy eyes of agenda to lionize those lying eyes, thugs, stolen eyes, waiting for the westbound train, dragging to Toledo and Chicago and clacking Amtrak rails that flash past cattle cars with hysterical death ripped vision. A strobe shuttered savage rails over a historical mountain over there named Vinyl that will be climbed 100 years from now by Ronald Rottenclown, ghost on an endless telegraph pole of Custer the loser, demon dicks propaganda, hype and hypocrisies in the last gasp of democracy, the jumbo laugh of a dying empire with so much bad karma. Electromagnetic torrents of toxic sunsets more beautifully seen in the morality of the dead eyes scanning for security in the crimson sky like old day glow tinctures in the summer of love. Pete's lost plaint, I ain't gonna study war no more. In dead afternoons beyond the banging winds of interstate of no escape on poisoned Exitram. Johnny Cash in his coffin, all dressed in black. Westbound train rolls on. Eat not thy mind, young father, in the trailer park over there under the power lines, contemplating suicide. Mother on pills, baby crawling toward the television. Arts program of grandmother's quilting party. Brother kept driving on speed to make a dime, addicted to the wheel. Sister screamed, bid in a sheer wind and cold voice at her lost house deal. Streetwise Jones found dancing in a crack whore bones, mute and blue. And Mayo, sleep tonight with jazz in your grave, Claude Perdue. Hard luck and hard lucker, mean hooker, deep heart, dark mind, commercialized vagina cum laude from the tattooed neon school, faded music, mascara in glamorous midnights too, slow jazz and melancholy words of last love for you, Albany news, battery, beating, homeless, murder, robbery. Bend down, America, and kiss the asphalt. You voted for it. They are murdering the flowers again, destroying the poppies in Afghanistan. Machetes drawn ATVs, pulling iron harrows, full battle camouflage, NARC state uniform, real colors, blood reds and dark greens crushed into landscapes and set aflame. Beauty tangled in charred gray faces, hip hag muppets in red and pink crepe, while a young farm girl cries at her favorite red and gold shawl, burning for her mother, leaning against a tree, her eyes turning toward the heavens, crying, "If we can't destroy the enemy, we can damn sure destroy their flowers." In photo ops, the goon-faced Joker criminal looks down from a helicopter. But remember, leaning on their trusted pickup trucks, they change like Transformer toys. From bud to bullets, when the call is out, imprison the most helpless and forsaken strays among us, and they convict us in their mind, ready to destroy again for whatever the authorities preach.
Pedro Show. Start of second hour with Time Out Cruise by T.V. Smith's Explorers. Then Charlie Plymell and myself, I was backing him up on some improvised bass. Live August 9, 2008. Philadelphia, this Fishtown part of Philadelphia. Stefano Pelia with Makes Us Melancholy. I guess the Queen's English should be melancholic, but that's okay. He's Italian. And then T.V. Smith's Cheap, Buried by the Machine. So, yeah, you're doing this tour. You got an album out, touring with the Damn. What happens with the adverts?
It just kind of slowly fell apart. I mean, it's a story loads of bands could tell, I guess. You know, we were kids. You know, as we already said, two of the members, we didn't even know each other before the band started, and then suddenly we're on tour. We're stuck in the bands together. We're sharing hotel rooms. You know, the normal stuff, and it became hard. And to make it even worse, you know, although the first album was really well received, I kind of went off on another kind of tangent with the second album, The Television's Over and I Surrender and all these kind of strange songs. I was trying to really do something different. And as you did already mentioned, the mix on Television's Over, it went bass heavy, you know, it went really down. The guitar was kind of in the background and the bass and the drums was what was driving it with the lyrics. And this was at a time when punk rock had become quite sort of staid in the way it was supposed to sound. Everyone went for the guitar model.
Right, you know, they orthodox.
Everything had to sound like the Ramones, but aggressive.
Right.
You know, and it was kind of, you know, I thought punk was going to be about experimental.
Right, throbbing gristle.
Different ways and, you know, but it became very constricted and conservative.
Absolutely.
So, the second album totally bombed, which led to a lot of unhappiness in the band, and it just added on the stress and tension, and it came to a point where, you know, people were leaving, we were getting replacement members, and it didn't feel like a band anymore. So, you know, a band is supposed to be a bunch of mates out on the road together, not in constant stress and unhappiness, and, you know, without, and also with no commercial success, financially hard to keep going.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do was to call it quits.
And T.V. Smith's Explorers, is that next?
Yeah, I went straight into that because I was still writing and I still wanted to play, even though, you know, I had to mark down the adverts as kind of a, you know, not able to continue with that. But I wanted to move on. I had songs and I wasn't going to be daunted by the fact the punk rock audience wasn't, you know, didn't like the way I was going. So I just opened up with a new band, you know, a band with synthesizers in. That was a no-no with punk rock. I thought, well, I don't care. I'm just going to do it anyway.
That's so trippy because I just mentioned Throbbing Gristle. They used them in the, you know, 70s. We had a band over here, Nervous Gender, Screamers. First band that could sell out the Whiskey. Didn't you have a guitar? That's, you know, 70s punk.
Suicide could do it, you know.
That's right.
Punks could get away with it. The problem with us was we'd had a successful album, guitar-based, and people didn't think you should change. You know, they thought every band should be the Ramones and every album sounded the same.
And but that anarchy was just a slogan. It wasn't really a way to do things. Like no coercion, right?
Turned out that way, yeah.
And so what about T.V. Smith's Explorers? Does it go into T.V. Smith's Cheap?
What happened was, for all my bravado in doing a band that I knew was not going to be popular, the inevitable result was within a couple of years we had to break up as well, due to lack of any kind of success at all. That single, Tom Hall Cruise, did pretty well. But then the album came out and totally bombed. You know, that was my second album in a row that had bombed. And, you know, it was, and that basically kind of was a nail in the coffin in my career for about 10 years. You know, I went back, no one would give me a record deal, no one would give me a publishing deal. I had a manager, he died in a tragic accident at home. So I was left really kind of like hanging, with all I had, with songs, you know, songs on their own in the rough, tough music business are no good. So I was at home writing writing songs, making demos for 10 years, with a few people I liked we had a mutual musical respect for. And at the end of that period, I was getting so frustrated at not being able to play live that I thought, well, okay, I'm going to form a band called Cheap, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Cheap. We're going to travel the country in two cars, put all the gear in the back, just like the old days, and we're going to play wherever they'll have us. As long as we pay the petrol money, we're going to sleep on floors, and that's what we did.
I'm still doing it that way. If it works, don't fix it. Well, you gave me some stuff that's just called TV Smith, so let's play the Lion and the Lamb.
Ones, to the cohort of the damned, to my brethren in their sorrow overseas, sings a gentleman of England, cleanly bred, machinely crammed, and a trooper of the Empress, if you please. Yes, a trooper of the forces, who has run his own six horses. Of faith he went the pace, and went it blind. And the world was more than kin while he held the ready tin. But today the sergeant's something less than kind. We're poor little lambs who lost our way. Little black sheep who've gone astray. Gentlemen rankers out on the spree, damned from here to eternity. Oh, God have mercy on such as we. Oh, it's sweet to sweat through stables, sweet to empty kitchen slops. And it's sweet to hear the tales the troopers tell. To dance with blousy housemaids at the regimental hops. And thrash the cad who says you waltz too well. Oh, it makes you cock a hoop to be rider to your troop. And branded with a blasted worsted spur. When you envy, oh, how keenly, one poor Tommy being cleanly, who blacks your boots and sometimes calls you sir. We're poor little lambs who lost our way. Little black sheep who've gone astray. Out on the spree, damned from here to eternity. Oh, God have mercy on such as we. The home we never write to, and the oaths we never keep, and all we hold most distant and most dear. Across the snoring barrack room, return to break our sleep. Can you blame us if we soak ourselves in beer? When the drunken comrade mutters, and the great god lantern gutters, and the horror of our fall is written plain. Every secret self-revealing on the aching whitewashed ceiling. Do you wonder that we drug ourselves from pain? We're poor little lambs who lost our way. Little black sheep who've gone astray. Out on the spree, damned from here to eternity. Oh, God have mercy on such as we. We have done with hope and honor. We are lost to love and truth. We are dropping down the ladder, rung by rung. The measure of our torment is the measure of our youth. God help us, for we knew the worst too young. Our shame is clean repentance for the crime that brought the sentence. Our pride it is to know no spur of pride. And the curse of Reuben holds us till an alien turf enfolds us and we die. And none can tell them how we died. We're poor little lambs who lost our way. Little black sheep who've gone astray. Gentlemen, child's wing.
tried taking it to bits. Now the picture's just a grey fuzz. It's expensive being poor, because everything costs more. Someone pick me off the floor. It's expensive being poor. I can't live with what I did.
Pedro showed that chunk of music. Start out with Lion and the Lamb. Include next article there, people like an idiot. T.V. Smith. Then Mazinga, live in Ann Arbor, June 4, 2023. Super Karate Monkey Death Car. That's a title. Wolf Eyes after that. Days Decay, brand new. Benedict Edwards with Gentlemen Rankers. Don't know what that means. Street Sex out of Texas with In Defense of Resentment. Ray Shin out of Reno. Myopic Approach. Finally, T.V. Smith, Expensive Being Poor. It's just apropos, right? So what happens with Cheap?
Cheap failed as it was bound to do. We did get someone to finance a record, but we couldn't get a label to put it out. And at that point, someone else who had some kind of faith in me, the same publisher, said, look, rock bands are not going to work for you. You're never going to make it with a rock band. But we would be prepared to finance a record where you just did your songs in acoustic style. And I had a bunch of songs that I was already going this way at the time. And I was thinking myself, you know, somehow rock isn't going to make it for me. So then I made a record called March of the Giants with the people I've been working on demos in the previous 10 years, including the incredible guitarist Tim Rennick, who'd previously played with Mike Oldfield and Pink Floyd, and Tim Cross, who'd also played with Oldfield. You know, an astounding bunch of musicians. And I really, really enjoyed that freedom away from the rock format, just to do what I wanted and make some beautiful music. And The Lion and the Lamb that you played was the first track on the album, and it was a track that to me said, this is the right thing to do. And I thought, well, punks aren't going to like it. You know, my rock fans aren't going to like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And weird thing is that it's become a complete standard of my live sets now, and I play it every single set. I play it as much as Gary Gunn with Eyes. So it's kind of proof to me that you have to stick by your guns and do what you feel is right.
Yeah, yeah, you hear that, people? Life witness of that kind of theory. Yeah, that kind of practice. And
there's no other way, you know. There's no other way, you know. People tell you what to do, but if it's not right in your heart, it's not going to work. And I haven't had any commercial success, not really, you know, in the last kind of 40 years, but I feel that the songs have been successful and the records have been successful, and that's what means most to me.
But, you know, it seems you took the spirit of the movement literally. Let the freak flag fly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only way to go.
Yeah.
And
I try to tell people the movement wasn't really about a certain kind of beats per minute or where you put the snare or the kick drum. It was more of a state of mind, right?
Yeah, it's a spirit, and it's,
you leave the style. You leave the style up to the bands themselves, and so you're going to have, just like there's all those different fingerprints, you're going to have different ways of expressing.
Exactly, and actually, punk rock, you know, at the very start, it was like that.
Yep.
You know, it's you know, it was the Ramones and it was the Buzzcocks. You know, and
TV,
and,
you know, I think I'm
bands all sounding different.
Yeah, I think I'm around your age, and the what really amazed me of the early gigs I went to was the, you had no idea what was going to be next. It was so surprising. Yeah, and that got lost.
Such a thrill, you know. And then when it had to be, when it had to conform, I thought, well, punk rock. But I didn't think it was going to be about conforming. You know?
Yeah.
I thought it was about, like, you know, kind of exploding with creativity and doing what you wanted. And, you know, I think we all still feel that, really.
Absolutely. Now, you make the record with all these great music cats, but when you do the gigs, you're man alone?
Yeah, man alone from that point on, because I realized that I couldn't make bands work, basically. I didn't like the format of being in a band. It was too restricting. I didn't want to write for a certain set of musicians, you know. So, a friend of mine called Attila the Stockbroker, who's a kind of a poet, stand-up comedian, poet, commentator. He was doing solo gigs, and he came to see me with that band Cheap, and he said, "Look, you write songs, you play guitar. Why don't you just do solo gigs?" I said, "No, I couldn't possibly do that." And he said, "Well, look, I'm doing a gig on my own in a cafe next week. Come and support." So I tried it. And I played the guitar and sang the songs to about 40 people sitting on benches in front of me. And they all applauded and they loved it. And it was like a revelation, I thought.
Okay, sea change in your life.
People on my own, they're going to love it. And I don't have to ask the bass player, you know, if he can get off work that day to do the gig. You know, I just go out and do it. And it was a freedom, it was a total feeling of freedom.
Ah.
And, and since then, I've basically done solo gigs around the world.
Beautiful, beautiful. End of second hour, August 26, 2023 edition, Wap Pedro Show, special guest, TV Smith. Hold tight for hour three. August 26, 2023, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
So what? Let them inspire us, so we can make them all come true. gotta catch him before he strikes again. Thank you.
home. No self-respect. We got nothing. No hope. In the light of the
Pedro Show, start off third hour, TV Smith doing Good Times Are Back. Crane, Our Dreams. Tim Holhouse and the Tourette Boys with Caught. J.D. Pincus, Tall Trees. Tall Trees, not just Tall Trees. Can't C Sharp. So you take the K out of punk and you get pun rock. Finally, TV Smith, Land of the Overdose. So have you been to the U.S. before?
I've done a few gigs, yeah, so a scattering of gigs. I've done a few solo gigs, and I've done a few gigs with pickup bands like the Midnight Creeps, who just joined me for a few songs. You know, this October is going to be the first time I've come over and done a consistent tour with one band and focusing just on Abbott songs.
So it ain't Man Alone.
This isn't going to be Man Alone. This is going to be the demand from the States was for me to come out with a band. So I've recently been playing in Europe. You know, this is basically, because people want to hear those Advert songs done again. So I've had a band in Europe doing them with me. This is the exception to the rule, I've got to say. Most of my gigs are solo.
But I was going to say.
Gonna be, with a band from Houston playing all Advert songs.
Houston, U.S. cats. Okay. And the bass player can get some time off from work. And work for
this,
TV.
This is to paraphrase one of my own songs, this is what I file under, not my problem.
So, you haven't even practiced with these cats. You're going to show up at the first gig?
Yeah, I'm going to do it Chuck Berry style.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He just stomps the ground four times and everybody kicks in. But you know, the big joke.
The good thing about these days is we can share rehearsals, you know, over the internet. So it's not like walking into the unknown. You know, I know these guys are good and, we can back and forth about what needs to be done with the songs before I get there. And that's what we've been doing.
And these cats, they got their own band too, right? So they've been playing together.
Some of them have been playing together. We actually, it's a three-piece band, just the same format as the original Adverts. And, they're playing together now.
Okay. No, I think it's bitching. You know, Hodges, a drummer man I play with, one time I told him I was really scared when I was making my first opera. He said, you know what? Being a little bit scared is also being, like, a little bit excited. So I've never forgotten that.
You know, another thing... I've done 100, I do like 100 gigs a year. There's never one time when I don't go on stage terrified.
Yeah, me too. I want to shit a pecan log. But then you get into it and, you know, the momentum of the old days kind of carries you. And then, whew. You know, another thing I remember.
If you don't go on stage worried, I think there's something wrong.
Yeah, you're sleepwalking or connecting the dots, punching the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I remember, all the egg buttons on Gay's coat.
Yeah, well, we were both big Iggy fans, that's for sure.
Right, you mentioned that a couple times, and, you know, I got to help the Stooges for a... Oh, yeah, we met at a gig.
That's right, yeah, in London.
Yeah, Odeon, I think, yeah.
You was it the Odeon, or, yeah.
Yeah,
or,
they changed your name to something.
Yeah.
Because it's called something else nowadays, but... And I think it was...
yeah, Hammersmith Apollo. Yeah, I just ended up playing there, supporting the original Damned lineup like, a few months ago.
Whoa. Okay. You gave me this tune, maybe it's kind of relevant. Lockdown Holiday. Let's play it.
I was already in trouble when they took me to one side and said, there is no job left here for you. I was already a victim of a system weighed in favor of the rich and privileged few. Doesn't matter anyway, it's a lockdown holiday. Life's too short to be a slave. It's a lockdown holiday. No sights to see, no friends to meet, no work to do. But who's gonna pay? Who's gonna pay? Who's gonna pay? They think they can still tell us what to do. But I live a new reality. Eat, sleep, and repeat. It's a lifestyle I'm getting too used to. Nothing matters anyway. It's a lockdown holiday. Life's too short to be a slave. It's a lockdown holiday. No sights to see, no friends to meet, no work to do. But who's gonna pay? Who's gonna pay? Who's gonna pay?
London Dungeon.
Hey, back to the good old days. Don't cause problems, don't make waves. Do what they tell you, go where they say. Cold face on factory, you waste your life away. Climb up the chimney to an early grave. Poverty, pestilence, and plague. Is that such a hard price to pay? If it gets us back to the good old days. Let's go back to the good old days. Year by year, all progress erased. Who needs the road anyway? Prosperity was all your fame. Worked in the drop shop, closed Sundays. Everything you saved, all taken away. Ever felt exploited? Well, you know what they say. While the sun shines, makes flames. Ways. Watch all the cop shows, don't make waves. Suck in your belly and don't make waves. I believe what they tell me and I don't make waves. Re-erect the statues, don't make waves. Stay in your home safe, don't make waves. Live up, takeaways, don't make waves. Let's go back to the good old days. Let's go back to the good old days. When right-wing racist views held sway. Homophobic hotheads, juvenile sprays. Fleets and beats and illegal raids. Back to when austerity was all the rage. A world full of color grown cold and gray. Hopes of recovery gradually fade. Is it any wonder that you feel betrayed? The worst hurt of the lowest paid. Workhouse, poorhouse, everyone afraid. I wanna be a scavenger living in a cave. Back to the Stone Age, hooray! Twitter and don't make waves. Binge on the box sets, don't make waves. Never leave the telly off, don't make waves. I believe what they tell me and I don't make waves. Someone has to do it, so don't make waves. Go and put your feet up, don't make waves. The police are beating someone up, look the other way. Let's go back to the good old days.
You know, when they try and put you down.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about getting gig reviews. Because where I met TV and Gay was at Meltdown gig, other side of the river, and Thames. And we got a review in the Financial Times. They said, like, you know, we were too old or something. And it looked like I was using the amps to hold myself up. And Ronnie was on his way. This is where I learned the term allotment, people. It's your little garden you get. And... ain't a trip about that. You know what? I will say this about these days. I don't think the music press, quote unquote, has the power they used to.
No, they're also awful. I mean, when I was growing up and getting interested in music, you know, you got real journalism in the music press. You know, you had people like, you know, Nick Kent and Charles Shaw Murray and Mick Farren. You know, they were writing real, whether you agree with them or not, they were writing real articles, yeah. You know, and trying to analyze music. But now it's just so shallow. It's pathetic.
Now, Richard Meltzer over here, I always liked his writing. But some of them, it seemed they had too much power. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but you're right. There was always some kind of shieldom, though. You could tell the dudes, you know, they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So then Richard Meltzer ended up writing a book called A Whore Just Like the Rest. He said it got to the point where he's just looking at the album covers. He wasn't even listening to the shit.
Yeah.
I got to tell the people who just heard
it. A lot of our, you know, the music journalists now, they've used it as a springboard to move on to, like, the right-wing press and write articles in there. So, you know...
Absolutely.
You know, by their actions, where you know them.
That's right, right. If it walks like a duck. Okay, I got to tell the people the last music they heard on this edition. Lockdown Holiday, TV Smith. L7. This is the one with the, not the number, but the one out of Detroit, Ann Arbor area, with the Larissa. London Dungeon doing a Misfit song here. Witch A. This is John Dyer. OC's, his side project, City Maggot, Witch Egg. long play single version from M Mountain Offensive of The Beat Goes On, But It's Getting Heavy, Brother Phil Up a Mammoth. Finally, the remix, TV Smith's Let's Go Back to the Good Old Days. And that's kind of an ironic title. When do the titles come when you're writing songs?
Yes, it's absolutely ironic, yeah. Yeah, I just think, you know, kind of people, you know, everyone knows things are tough at the moment, you know, in both our countries, you know, we've had some terrible things going on and some terrible leaders. And I've heard people say, no, if only it was like how it used to be, but, you know, it's always been terrible. You know, yeah. I can't think back to the time when you can say, oh, what a brilliant government we got. You know, aren't things going well? It's always been terrible. You know, and the thing is, to find what you can out of it that's actually good and not believe their lies.
Absolute. You know, I wrote that song against the 70s because I was thinking about my pop when that show Happy Days came on. And he said to me, boy, those were not happy days.
Yeah.
So all that Fonzie and Potsie shit, yeah. Well, he was a, you know, third-class seaman making $90 a month when I was born, 19 years old. I mean, but you can airbrush, you know, all this revisionism. We got a big time here. I don't know if you got this talk radio stuff, but it's really
bizarre. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, all this stuff.
It's really this thing where people say something often enough and loud enough and it becomes the truth, but it doesn't become the truth. You know, that's the thing. You have to resist this kind of push into mad, this mad kind of selfish attitude. And people think just being aggressive and shouting about stuff makes it right. It doesn't.
Yeah. 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 It seems something that'll work is like getting people to realize it themselves, right? Because, you know, the thing of the didactic dilemma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you say anything, you're going to get shot down, you know, anything of any kind of value or importance. So the important thing is to hold your own aim true and you know, look at what's going on and believe in yourself and what's happening. You know, not just everyone shouting at each other. It doesn't help at all.
Yeah. And in the material you're going to play here on this October tour, is it right up to the moment? You said something about adverts, so there will be some old stuff.
It's going to be pure adverts. You know, that's what
I demand. Oh, pure adverts. Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to do like most of the first of the two albums. Nearly all of the first album and a few selected songs from the second album. And this is what people have asked me to come over and do. So this is going to be my reintroduction to coming to the States. And I hope it will, you know, if it goes well, we'll see what else can come out of it.
But at the same time, are you working on current songs like the Man Alone stuff?
I'm working on a new album right now, yeah.
Okay.
I've got some really songs that I think are the, you know, I know everyone says this, but I really think these are the best songs I've ever written, and I'm really excited about the new album, which is going to come out 2024.
Who's really like that is Bob Mould. Every record, I remember going back to Husker Du, this is the best ever.
Well, I think that excitement keeps you charged up, you know, sure. and whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because if it feels like it's the best record, it damn well is.
Yeah. And where can people find out about you on the internet? Do you have your own website?
Yeah, sure. TVSmith.com.
Okay, TVSmith.com, people. And look, can I put an invite out when that album of new stuff gets done and recorded? Will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
That'd be great. Well, I'd love to do that.
Ah, righteous. Thank you, TV, so much. And safe seas for your tour. People, go out there and see him, man. This cat is happening. People, it's been August 26, 2023. This is what Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.